What's up, lovely people? I'm Coy. This is CNN 10, and it's your CNN 10, especially on a hashtag Your Word Wednesday. Follow me at Coy Wire on Insta, Snapchat, and TikTok. Put your unique vocabulary word in the comment section of my most recent post, and we'll choose one fun one to work into tomorrow's show. Let's go. Now, we do have to begin with some tough news out of Libya, where around 5,300 people at least had died at the time of this recording, 10,000 more believed to still be missing. And it's the result of a terrible storm. The storm's name is Daniel, and it dumped so much rain on Libya's northeast that two dams collapsed, sending water flowing into already inundated areas, and in some cases, washing whole neighborhoods away. The rain is a result of a very strong low-pressure system that brought catastrophic flooding to Greece last week and moved into the Mediterranean before developing into a tropical-like cyclone known as a Metacane, which is a combination of the words Mediterranean and hurricane. In addition, the collapse of two dams under the pressure of the flooding water sent even more water rushing toward these towns, creating more catastrophic damage. Strong currents also carrying debris and even vehicles adding to the damage. It looks like this storm is one of the deadliest on record in North Africa. In the wake of the tragedy, several countries have offered aid to Libya, and rescue teams are scrambling to find survivors and assess the damage. In the nation of Morocco, a 6.8 magnitude earthquake struck late Friday night. More than 2,900 people had died at the time of this recording, and rescuers continue to race against the clock to search through rubble for survivors. The quake is the strongest to hit Morocco's center in more than a century. The epicenter of the quake was in close proximity to many tourist areas and the economic center of Marrakech. Complicating the relief efforts is the nearby terrain of the Atlas Mountains, home to many isolated villages that have been devastated by this quake.
It certainly has been a somewhat delayed effort. We're today in the village of Moulay Ibrahim, and you can see behind me just how remote some of these villages are. We are high up in the Atlas Mountains, and that has proven to be a real struggle for rescue teams. Many of these villages, many of the hardest hit areas across Morocco are in these remote, high up mountainous areas, and that has proven to be a real challenge for rescue teams. Now, just yesterday, we were in another village further up, further south, and this is a village which has proven hugely difficult to reach. We spoke to people there who have been impacted by the earthquake. They told us that the international rescue teams had only just made it to the village yesterday, that they had been spending days digging through the rubble of their collapsed homes with their bare hands, and they have only just begun to receive that humanitarian aid, have only just begun to see doctors and medical personnel on the ground there. And of course, it has been difficult to reach some of these areas. The roads have been blocked in some places because of the debris, because of damage to the roads. But of course, there is still a real sense of frustration among these residents in these remote villages around that delayed response. Many people are now living in temporary shelters, including in this village. You can see the homes damaged behind me just further down the mountain. Many families living in tent shelters now.
Let's travel to Colombia in South America now, where CNN's chief climate correspondent Bill Weir has details on an innovative project to preserve the cotton-top tamarin, a cute monkey that is among the most endangered primates in the world. They are only found in northwestern Colombia, and their tropical forest habitat is being destroyed.
In one particular corner of one particular country, there lives a creature that exists nowhere else in the world. This is Colombia. And word is their unique species is adorable and elusive and critically endangered, a combination that can frustrate when trying to spot one. But trudging through a forest hot as a sauna, our odds are better than average thanks to people who know them really well.
They love the nectar of the flowers. And they stick their hair, you know, their hair like in the flower like that, and their hair, their facial hair.
Rosamira Guillen started her career as a landscape architect. But when she was hired to help build a zoo, she met the animal that would change her life. And theirs. The cotton-top tamarin. A little monkey with a look right out of Dr. Seuss.
I can see why you fell in love with these little guys.
Oh, yeah. how can you not?
When she learned that the illegal pet trade and slash-and-burn cattle ranching had driven them to the brink of extinction, her architect mind shifted from building zoos to rebuilding forests, which is much more difficult than just dropping seeds in soil.
It may take a day to cut a hectare of forest, but to rebuild it, it takes about 20 years.
She's learned that rewilding takes sweat, smarts, and human relations. Because in order to connect the TT's fragmented habitat, she would need land and the cooperation of ranchers who do not share her love for these monkeys.
Is it harder working with nature or human nature?
Definitely human nature. I would be happy to just hang out with the monkeys and in the forest.
Our goal is to get to a certain point where there's enough for them to be stable and make it in the long term, right? Our fears is that, you know, you always fear that you don't get enough support to keep going. While we save this beautiful forest for them, we're saving the forest for many other animals, you know? So for all biodiversity.
And a livable planet for us.
And a livable planet for us, exactly. Because we get water, we get air, we get lots of resources. And that's why we focus so much on connecting people with nature, to appreciate it and care for it and want to do something about it. With a little help, we can make it because we've got the experience, we've done it, and it works.
Pop quiz, hotshot, part of the Pacific Ocean. What body of water is located on the southern curve of Alaska? Bering Sea, Gulf of Alaska, Beaufort Sea, or Chukchi Sea? All these waterways surround Alaska, but the Gulf of Alaska is your answer here.
The yellow hat.
This mysterious golden specimen was found during a deep sea expedition in the Gulf of Alaska.
Is this some sort of encrusting sponge?
I don't know what to make of that.
Scientists aboard Noah's ship, Okeanos Explorer, say they discovered it about 2 miles below surface.
I don't know what to think about this. It looks like we're seeing in the chat a dead sponge attachment, which kind of makes sense why I didn't even know where to start. It seems spongy. But now I'm seeing potential egg case, which I could see that as well.
Dubbed the Golden Orb, researchers say they have so far been unable to identify what it is, but confirm it is biological in origin.
Let's give it a little tickle. Oh, soft.
Soft thermal air. Okay.
Not sure if it'll just fall apart if I try to grab it.
It seems like it. It seems pretty delicate.
Scientists have taken it to a lab to learn more about it.
How many of you have ever heard of bioluminescence? Well, check out these waves in Orange County, California. This naturally occurring phenomenon occurs when water is churned up, like these waves, causing a chemical reaction in light-emitting organisms like algae blooms. There aren't many places in the world where you can see bioluminescence occurring naturally, and it doesn't exclusively occur on beaches either. But whenever you do, it's quite the enlightening experience. Shout out to all of you shining bright like my peeps at Oak Glen High School in New Cumberland, West Virginia. This is your moment. We see you. Now submit those vocab words to @KoiWire for your hashtag Your Word Wednesday, your word in tomorrow's show right here on CNN 10.